Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week.
Good morning. For those of you who I may not have had the pleasure to meet, my name is Andrea Williamson, and as Des said, I am an elder here at St. Andrew's, and I'm absolutely honored to share the message with you today. I always like to be clear that I am not a biblical scholar, and I have asked the Holy Spirit to fill me and be in me and speak in me and through me today to offer a message that God knows we need to hear. What's the date today? Anyone know? 26th. Today is January 26th. That's right. Not quite a week after what some in the United Kingdom have labeled as Blue Monday. Typically, the third Monday of January is supposedly the most depressing day of the year. So back in 2005, a travel company in the UK approached psychologists named Cliff Arnall to come up with a formula for the most depressing day of the year. According to Wikipedia, Arnall apparently claimed to have calculated the date using an equation with many factors, including weather conditions, of course. It looks very sunny out today. I think he might have miscalculated. Debt level, of course, time since Christmas, that might have affected the debt level. Time since New Year's resolutions have been broken. Low motivation levels. Turns out some other scientists have dismissed this idea as pseudoscience with nonsensical measurements. But it is still recognized, at least in the UK, by companies who are trying to market to people to travel, to escape these depressing days, right? And if that's not bad enough, he's come up with a solution to the gloomiest day of the year, and it's the happiest day of the year. We just have to wait 6 months until around the third week of June. And according to BBC News, the same psychologist, Cliff Arnall, also in 2005, devised a formula which measures good mood, increased outdoor activity, high energy levels, and more sunlight. Arnall said, "Happiness is associated with many things in life and can be triggered by a variety of events, whether it's a sunny day, a childhood memory, or something as effortless as eating a delicious ice cream." Well, according to CTV News, Arnall's mention of ice cream was not coincidental. The research was sponsored by the British ice cream maker Walls as a marketing campaign to sell more ice cream. Okay, so even if there's no scientific evidence to support Blue Monday in January or the happiest day of the year in June, I want to explore with you today that we don't need to let our circumstances determine our joy. Now, we can all probably relate on some level to feeling a little down or blue on certain days and a little happier or more joyful on others. And maybe labeling these days will bring awareness and to help and maybe create help for more of those people who are struggling with depression and mental health issues. And I want to offer another way to view our days, which brings us into a deeper relationship with God and to our scripture for today. So today we're going to explore together what we just sang, Psalm 118, 24, and that's, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." We know God created this day because we know from reading the very first verse in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So let's take a moment and marvel at God's glorious creation. I remember from when I was in school learning about how there are repetitive patterns in nature, And this has always pointed me back to God and amazed me about his creation. Some of you may have learned about this also or recognize the term Fibonacci sequence, named after the Italian mathematician. I see some heads nodding. Okay, good, good. So I figured, you know, you all would be excited if we had a little math lesson today. Okay, kind of kidding. I'm kind of kidding, a little bit, sort of. Well, I haven't prepared a math lesson. Bear with me while I explain what the Fibonacci sequence is and how it's related to God's creation. Okay, hang with me, okay? So put simply, the Fibonacci sequence is a series of numbers which begins with 1 and 1. From there, you add the previous two numbers together in the sequence to get the next number. It's pretty simple, so you guys work with me. So 1 plus 1 equals 2. 1 plus 2 equals 3. 2 plus 3 equals 5. Okay, we're doing great. All right. 3 plus 5. I already got myself mixed up. 3 plus 5 equals 8. And so on, okay? And so on. So this gives you a sequence that looks like 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8. I'm going to run out of fingers. 13, 21, 34, 55. Okay, I don't have enough hands to go up anymore. But 89, etc. And it goes all the way up to infinity. All right, you still with me? Okay, before you get bored and tune out with all these numbers, let's look at where these Fibonacci numbers show up all around us in nature. We see these numbers in the number of petals in flowers. So lilies and iris have 3 petals, okay? Buttercups have 5 petals. Delphiniums have 8 petals. Okay, I don't have any more fingers. Corn magnolias have 13 petals. Our Maryland flower, the black-eyed Susans, have 21 petals. And daisies can have 34, 55, or even 89 petals. But those are all Fibonacci numbers. I think this is fascinating. Maybe you guys are like, what is she talking about? Anyway, okay, we'll keep going. We also see these Fibonacci numbers in the cross-section of fruit, like bananas and cucumbers have 3 sections, okay? And apples and starfruit have 5 sections. We also see these numbers in tree branches. This is so cool. Okay, if you start with maybe I'm a little more excited than most of you. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm a little excited about this topic. So I used to love math. I don't do much math anymore. So bear with me. All right, so you start with the number 1 as the tree trunk, okay? And then we know that one branch grows off of that one tree trunk, making 2, and then another one grows there, making 3, and then 5, and then 8, and so on as the tree grows. Now, this Fibonacci pattern is even found in our lungs. So, in the branching of our one throat, okay, to our one windpipe or trachea, to our 2 lungs, okay, and then it divides into our 2 lobes and 3 lobes of our lungs, and so on, following the Fibonacci sequence. Like, tell me this isn't fascinating. I don't know. Okay, so I'm going to ask Dina to pull up our first image here. Can everybody see that? Okay, all right. So each number in a Fibonacci series can be used to draw squares. Okay, so these squares placed beside each other form rectangles. So you see that, I know you may not be able to see, but the number 1 right there and 1 are beside each other. And then when you put 2 by 2 beside the 1 by 1, then you put 3 by 3 beside the 1 and the 2, you see these rectangles forming. Do you see that? Do you see these rectangles? Yes. Okay. Thank you for engaging. All right. Okay. So, and then you see not just the rectangles, but then the arc that's formed. When you make an arc in each of the squares, it forms this spiral shape, right? So, which is wild. So the interesting thing about the rectangles like this is that the ratio The ratio is the number that shows how the sides relate to each other, okay? And that ratio stays about the same no matter how big the rectangle gets. So even if we were to like add on the next number, the 55 in that series, and then the 89, no matter how big the rectangle gets, the ratio, okay, let's explain what a ratio is. The ratio is called the golden ratio, okay? But the golden rectangle, this is a golden rectangle in this ratio. So the ratio is the way the sides relate to each other, okay? So, okay, bear with me here. I know this is getting a little complicated. It's not complicated at all. So we can see the ratio by dividing the long side of the rectangle divided by the short side of the rectangle, okay? So let's say we have the 3 by 5, okay? We take 5 divided by 3, and you'll get a number very close to 1.618. So, and as you go, remember these are all numbers in the Fibonacci sequence, okay, in order of the Fibonacci sequence that we went through earlier. And as you go higher in the sequence, dividing the number by the previous number, you get closer and closer to this golden ratio, which is 1.618, and then there's numbers go on and on and on. And this golden ratio is seen in so many aspects of God's creation. Now, we are only going to be able to scratch the surface here today with respect to the golden ratio and all the places it's found in God's creation. It's found in how our faces are designed, okay? The mouth and nose are each in the golden ratio in the distance between the eyes and the bottom of the chin. The measurements of the segments of our fingers, okay, so this little segment to this little segment to this segment to this segment is all in the golden ratio. It's even in the shape of our DNA molecules in our cells down to the microscopic level. Fascinating. I also find it very interesting that the golden ratio has also been called the divine ratio. Because even though mathematicians and scientists have spent years discovering the complexity and beauty in living things, we know that our all-knowing God designed and created everything from nothing. Okay, so let's go back to the spiral that we see in this sketch from the Fibonacci sequence. This spiral is also found in so many living things, including in us, okay? We see it in seashells, sunflowers, broccoli, seriously? Cauliflower, cabbage, aloe. Like if you take a cabbage and you slice it in the middle, like, you know, cross section, you can see the spiral. You can see this golden spiral. It's wild. It's wild. Anyway, I'm going to have you guys, we're going to do a cooking class next. Okay, we see it in aloe, we see it in pine cones, we see it in pineapple, and even in our ears, okay? So you can't see my ear, but like the spiral is in our ears, all right? Okay, so I'm going to ask Dina to please go to the next image in our slides. All right, so I found this amazing image from researchgate.net, where these scientists are using the golden or divine ratio for biomedical applications that are inspired by nature. I think this is wild. All right, so these are 12 examples of where the divine ratio is seen in God's creation. So if we're going from left to right, we see a nautilus shell. We see a galaxy. Like seriously, a galaxy. There's no man-made galaxies that I know of. Anyway, a sunflower, a desert plant that looks like kind of like an aloe or a cactus of some sort. And then we go down to the middle row. We're going left to right. We have a storm formation. That could be a hurricane. A fern bud, which is so cool because it looks kind of like a chameleon's tail. You'll see that too. We see an ocean wave, a fingerprint. And now in the bottom row, this is where we see the golden ratio pattern branching in a branch tree, in a leaf. That's a riverbed formation. And then in the human lungs, like we talked about. And let's go back to the human lungs for a second there. We sang today, like, God, he gave us our breath, right? So obviously he would give us lungs that work the best by his design. It's just wild to me. Okay, let's look at the sunflower for a second. You may not be able to see it, but if you look really closely here, there are, you probably can't see it from there, but there are spirals in the middle of the sunflower, and they go, there are spirals that go right to the right or clockwise, and there are spirals that go to the left or counterclockwise. And often you'll find 34 spirals going one way, and then in the same sunflower, you would think it would be the same number of spirals, right? You would think the same number of spirals, if they're going one way, the same number of spirals will go the other way. No, no, nope. It's the next number in the Fibonacci sequence. Seriously, like, how, like, we couldn't make this stuff up. But, and then sometimes you'll find in smaller sunflowers, you're going to find like 21 and 34 spirals or 8 and 13 spirals, but they're all adjacent numbers in the Fibonacci sequence. Just amazing to me. So then you're thinking, well, why do we see this spiral pattern or the divine or golden ratio in nature? And I've read from many different sites. I did lots of research. I found like way more than I can even share with you today. But on this one site, asknature.org, I learned that it's so that the leaves can get the maximum amount of sun, or so that the most amount of rain or dew gets down to the roots. And plants also need to maximize the number of seeds that they can pack into a given space like that sunflower, to maximize their chance of reproductive success. Now, here's something fascinating, and Tom and I talked about this a little bit this morning, but we also learned that if the proportions of human facial structures are in the divine ratio, we can breathe better and have better jaw function. Okay. So I want to encourage you to try to find the Fibonacci numbers or the golden rectangle, even just the rectangle, or the spiral or the divine ratio in God's creation. And when you do, take a moment to marvel at his glorious creation, and that we are healthier, things function better, and are even more beautiful when they're in God's divine ratio. Let yourself be in awe of our Creator and all that he has given us. And maybe even say it in your head or out loud, or you can sing it if you're like our praise team and you can sing, not like me. And say it out loud, like, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, before we wrap up, while we don't have time to delve into all of Psalm 118, I would like to give you a teeny bit of context of our scripture for today. Psalm 118 starts and ends with the same words. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And anytime scripture is repeated, I feel like we need to pay attention. We can trust in the word of God. We are to give thanks to the Lord, not because of the weather or our circumstances, but because God is good and his faithful love lasts forever. And how could God show us his faithful love in a more meaningful way than by dying for us? According to the Enduring Word Bible Commentary, Psalm 118 was sung in Jesus' day, okay, as part of the Passover celebration or ritual. We also know from Matthew chapter 26, 30 and Mark 14, 26 that Jesus sang a hymn with his disciples at the Last Supper before they went out to the Mount of Olives. This hymn they refer to is Psalms 113 to 118. As Jesus sang the words, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever," he did it with complete knowledge that the endurance of God's love and mercy would be tested to the utmost in the work to come the next day on the cross. He also sang, as part of that hymn, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." So, It's true in a general sense that the Lord makes every day. And there is reason to rejoice and be glad in every day. Yet specifically, the day the Lord made to rejoice and be glad in was the day Jesus entered Jerusalem with hosannas, welcoming him as Israel's Savior. So as we draw to a close, here's my challenge for you. Will you commit to starting each day with Psalm 118:24 on your heart and mind? And maybe even saying it out loud or singing it? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Remember that we can rejoice and be glad in today, not just because we are given another day here on earth to glorify God, but because we can be confident that our all-knowing, all-powerful Creator designed this day intentionally with mind-blowing complexity and intricacy. And that same Creator is also our Lord and Savior, and He is good, and His faithful love endures forever. We know this because we have been given the most incredible gift that we don't deserve, that we can't earn or repay, the gift of salvation made available to us through Jesus. Knowing this frees us to live a life full of joy and happiness. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the gift of intentionally designing and creating this day and every day. Thank you for making things so complex that they work best when they're in your divine ratio. Thank you for being our divine Creator and Savior. Please help us to start each day with joy and thanksgiving, because you are good and your love endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen.